Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. And now, on to the show.
So I am very excited to introduce today's sponsor, and of course, his company, very generously is a sponsor, but also today's speaker, Quay Morgan. Quay is the brand director at Ninja Forms, where he's worked for the better part of the last 10 years in various roles. He's a former science teacher and got pulled into WordPress through a friend with a little plugin that started taking off. So welcome, Quay. We're very excited to have you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And hello to everybody.
So I have stopped sharing. I am going to turn off my camera and microphone and let you take it away. For everyone, just so everyone is aware, we do have the Q&A module activated for this webinar. If you have questions, please post them in there and I will join at the end to pass those along to Quay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. I tried to jump the gun there. I was a little bit excited to see somebody from Alpharetta. So extra hello to you. You're about 45 minutes south of me. I'm in the Chattanooga area. But hello to everybody. And I will admit to being just a little bit nervous to stand in front of people passionate about accessibility when, as a product, we are not where we want to be yet. We have done a lot of work recently, though, and I think it might be helpful to share my experiences so far. I hope, anyway, that it will be helpful to share my experiences, our experiences. The more people that I talk to about accessibility, the more that I get the impression that a lot of WordPress companies have been slow to act for a lot of the same reasons that we have been at Ninja Forms. I would like other companies to be able to learn from our experiences, because I know that there's a whole awful lot of us that are not where we want to be or need to be yet. And I'd also like to convey to the accessibility community in general what our hurdles have been. So I know that accessibility is extraordinarily important to you, and that a lot of your work includes awareness and raising awareness and helping people get past the hurdles that we've recently been experiencing ourselves. So hopefully the perspective that I can offer is helpful in encouraging others to get on board and get started if they haven't already, and get further if they have gotten started. Reflecting back over the last 10 years or so that I've been with the company, two things have stood out with regard to accessibility. And those things are awareness, not a lack of awareness, but the nature or the kind of awareness that's out there, and the perceived complexity of getting your product accessible or moving towards a place where you can maintain an accessible product. So I'd like to unpack both of those things, awareness and complexity, or perception of complexity, with a little bit of background. Awareness, shallow awareness, is common in my experience. And what I mean by that is awareness of accessibility as a set of technical requirements only. It's hard to not be aware of accessibility, period, right? We hear about it. We've heard about it. There are regulations coming over the horizon that, you know, kind of turn the torque up on people to get there if they haven't already. So it's not that people aren't aware of accessibility, but the nature of that awareness is often just as a set of technical requirements to be attained. Years ago, when I started with Ninja Forms, I did almost exclusively just content creation and support. So spent a lot of time reading comments on blog articles that our readers would leave and questions in our support queues. And we did get lots of questions about accessibility. You know, are you WCAG2 compliant? When will you be fully WCAG2 compliant? Can we have an area label added to this or that? It was obviously something that was important to these folks, but from our seat, it was always presented, almost always presented, just as a set of technical requirements or compliance concerns. The interest seemed mostly limited to public sector orgs, which gave us a too narrow of a perspective. And it was usually presented to us as nice to have. You know, well, okay, fine. If you don't have that, we can have one of our developers added on, et cetera, which is a little bit strange to me looking back, realizing how important it is for certain institutions and organizations to be compliant. And so that may be a matter of perception on the receiving end, my perception. But this was our main point of contact with accessibility as a concern or as an interest. And that's how it came across in our perception, right or wrong. And I think this level of exposure is pretty typical of product companies across the board. Not all, but fairly typical. We only ever saw the layer in between us and the real need. We only ever saw the companies and organizations talking to us about, we need this, we need that. It'd be nice if you could do this. We never saw past that in our interactions to the individuals that rely on assistive technology to use the internet, to make full use of the internet. And that is why I call that a shallow awareness. It's just an awareness of the set of technical requirements. It lacks the awareness of the negative impact that inaccessibility has on individuals. It lacks the awareness of the harm, essentially, that we are causing others by having a product that is hard to use if you're only sat down with a keyboard in front of you. That's practically impossible to use if you're trying to use VoiceOver or similar technology to read, because there's no context for what's on your screen. And you know, I want to be careful that I'm not offering any of this as an excuse, but context only. We were ignorant of the wider impact. We were ignorant of the impact of accessibility beyond our own users to the end users, to the people that they serve. And so that level of awareness that has to evolve for, in my opinion, for adoption to be where it needs to be, where we would all like it to be. We've product companies need to see past accessibility as a technical requirement or a set of service to offer to their customers, and have a deeper understanding of the people that it impacts beyond your own customer base. I don't know how to do that at large, kind of sharing, reflecting. For me personally, it was motivated by my own family. My son has special needs. He's benefited greatly from, we're in the United States, so from IDEA and the Americans with Disabilities Act. He's autistic, nonverbal. I'm no stranger there to pursuing appropriate accommodations, especially in education, but just in the context of like, man, we go out to eat and the man loves chicken tenders. So I know, you know, pretty much everywhere has chicken tenders, but man, there's a whole menu full of stuff right here. You know, I can set that down in front of him, but unless it has pictures, he can't parse what he wants to eat. And it occurred to me at some point, that's where my brain finally made the connection that this isn't, you know, this is not one-on-one what we're talking about here, but it's related. The accommodations that my son needs to fully participate in a restaurant experience, it's not different from, all right, it's not completely different from the way we are, our experience that we have online. If we're not making accommodations, then not everybody is able to take full advantage of the technology in front of them. And that is where we need people to move to for them to have a full awareness of the impact of accessibility. It's not a feature set. It's human decency. It's about being able to give people what they need to make the most out of their experience online. And something that I didn't really pick up on until even later in the same train of thought, as it's not just a set of technical requirements, but it's about being inclusive and making the online experience accommodating for everyone, cultural variations and neurodivergent spectrum alike. So that's I don't know how to get people there, but it's certainly what did it for me. And you know, it's not that we didn't care about people before then. We just didn't realize like this isn't just a technical failing. Like this is really bad. We got to fix this. And we can't have this knowledge now and go forward without doing something about it. And that was a very strong motivator for me and a very strong motivator for us. And it's, you know, my hope that if we can move other people to that level of awareness, and they would be far more motivated to do the right thing and to get their house in order. So beyond awareness, related to, but beyond, moving on to perceived complexity of taking on accessibility. You know, we, as awareness, as my awareness started to grow, as our awareness started to grow, we started having conversations about the technical side of accessibility. What is this going to look like? This is something that we have to tackle. Now, what's it going to look like to really dig into it? And we ran into some early blockers. These all turned out to be misconceptions, fortunately. But there were plenty of perceived early blockers. And you know, again, my hope is in sharing some of this, we can help get people past this with in a little bit more timely fashion than we did. So some of those include the notion that we can't ever be accessible fully because it's something that we don't control. It's something that we don't control how our code is output on the front end of a website. And we're a form builder, but there are other people with the form. It goes on to the front end, and the theme is really what controls a lot of the presentation of the form on the page. So even if we designed our forms in a way that was fully accessible, which fully accessible, we really didn't even understand at the time what, and still it's an evolving understanding, but certainly at the time didn't have a concept really of what it meant to be fully accessible, if there even is such a thing. And it's an evolving process. But you know, okay, so we can't control we can't control what theme a person gets, and there's a whole lot of themes out there, and a whole lot of them, they're not great, you know. So what's the use in putting all of this effort into it ourselves if the end output is not going to be what we want it to be, any because of another decision a user made? Now, again, these are misconceptions. These aren't good notions to hold on to, but that was one of the things that was bantered about a lot early. Another is the complexity of accessibility, just as in terms of figuring out what do we do? What does accessible even look like? None of us in the company were really familiar with what it was like to use a screen reader or to navigate a website with only a keyboard on the technical side. Okay, well, what do? We go to the WCAG2 site, and it is overwhelming. There's a lot there. And I can understand why there's a lot there, but man, it looks like a wilderness that's going to be really, really difficult to navigate without a guide. Just figuring out where to get started, it's pretty complex looking. Turned out not to be as unnavigable as I was afraid it was, but it certainly looks that way. And that leads to a perceived a notion of expense that's, in our case anyway, far out of line with reality. We thought, man, we're going to have to outsource this, or we're going to have to bring in a third party agency in some form of long-term contract. It's going to be pricey. And that's not true, or hasn't been in our case, but the perception of it can certainly be a blocker, especially to smaller companies, as most WordPress product companies are. Where it turns out I don't think of us as a huge company. We only have about, 15 or 20 folks working in the overall Saturday Drive, which NinjaForms is part of. But, even for us, that was a little bit scary. Like, all right, we're going to have to budget for this. And it turns out, we don't. Not to the degree that we did. But I can see a lot of people getting to that point and stopping because they look at it as a thing that we have neither the capacity nor the budget to take on. So we just can't do anything about it. Another misconception is that because we didn't code NinjaForms from the start with accessibility front and center, that we'll have to rebuild everything in order to be accessible. Well, it turns out that's not the case either, but that was a fear we had. There's also a binary perception of accessibility that it's only meaningful if we're all the way there. It doesn't, taking bite-sized chunks out of it doesn't really matter until you get there, wherever there is. I don't think that people understand that there's lots of improvements, lots of incremental improvements that can be made. And with each increment, you make the experience better for somebody, a lot of people on the other side of things. And then not so much a blocker to get started, but the tendency to look at accessibility as a monolithic chunk of work. Back to the not being able to increment or take bite-sized pieces out to make better. It's one big thing that we've got to take care of. It's not as much of a blocker to get started, but it's a notion that needs to be dispelled quickly or early on in the journey, because it's very much being accessible, I've learned, is very much an evolving process. It's not something that you attain, put it in the books, and walk away from. It's like, maintenance on a home or a vehicle or some of that nature. If you're really behind, yeah, there's a whole lot that's got to be done. If I haven't changed my oil in 2 years, I've probably got more than an oil change that I'm due for, right? But it, you know, you knock things out, and then you can continue on without it being this monolith that you've always got to push. Hopefully that makes sense.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizeddigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code ACCESSIBILITYCRAFT to save 10% on any plan.
So getting past this for us was really on our part, just stubbornness and a drive to make it better. Making it better is a company value that you know, it's been something that the owners have never stopped talking about since the very first day I started with Ninja Forms, and rightly so. So we've got to continue to evolve. We've got to continue to make things better. And with the burgeoning awareness of the broader impact beyond the technical requirements, this just wasn't anything that we could, okay, it's too complicated, we're not going to do anything about it. That we can't do that. That's not acceptable. So we had to figure it out. So I just started plugging away and chipping at it. Felt like a guy with a hammer and a chisel working on a boulder for a while, but we got past it. We dove into parsing the WCAG2 standards, and I got lost and spent a lot of time roaming in circles for a while there. Started collecting and organizing user requests. We have a spreadsheet that we keep all the feature requests, all the things that people want, wish, nice to have, this, that, and the other. And starting to see some patterns. That helped a lot in adding context to the technical stuff that we knew about, like real world context of, because this is lacking when I try to use the form using this technology, this is what it looks like for me. And we were able to start kind of grouping things together, help me see an organizing pattern to follow. When the big breakthrough for me really was discovering a W3C forms tutorial. And it sounds like a simple thing, but that was kind of the guide that we needed. It basically gave us a checklist of technical requirements that we could start with, to the best of our understanding. We didn't understand everything on the list still, but it gave us a place to start, and it gave us a map to move through things with. So we started to approach things from the front end display of our forms. Figured that this is where we can make the biggest difference for the most people the soonest, because we're not talking about just things for our users and our customers, but again, those end users, the real people out there using the form across the world. If they're able to move through it with if there's feedback or any other odd sounds on the line, I apologize. I just saw a bit of a comment there. There's people and animals and everything around here that may be making all kinds of odd noises at odd times. So apologies. maybe my son humming to himself over here. He's watching Sonic the Hedgehog on the couch next to me. The front end forum display was where we figured we could make the biggest impact the fastest for the most people. So that's where we started. We focused on end user experience, navigating forms. We began that by developing a set of internal standards based on what we found between the W3C forms tutorial and the WCAG2 standards. So we need to make our own set of internal standards that we can hold ourselves to over time. We ran those internal standards through an accessibility professional, Peach Aneri. If anybody's familiar with her, she's been a grand help for us in that. We conducted an internal audit then using those standards of all the fields on the front end. And we cataloged everything that we did well and everything that we didn't do well. And turns out it was a fair mix. We were doing some things great, but it was mostly by accident or through the grace of having clever developers that anticipated some of this back, you know, quite a long while ago. Yes, that is her. Thank you. And we started fixing things just one at a time. I got together with our engineers and said, here is our internal standards. They actually, most of the work I didn't envelop. I did not create the internal standards. This was between me and our engineers did the bulk of the work. So they had an idea then going in, here are our standards. Here's how our fields line up against those standards right now, so we know exactly what we have to fix. Let's start to group these things in the order that it makes the most sense to begin working on and tackle them one by one. We started that work earlier this year. And out of 27 fields that are available for users to choose from in the core plugin, about 21 of those now meet those standards. So that's a big improvement. Sure, not where we want to be yet. We've got a long way to go. Front end forum display is just one aspect of it. You know, we also need to pay attention to our plugin admin in WordPress and our form builder so that folks can not just enjoy forms on the end user end, but also build forms and navigate the admin under the WordPress admin. That's looking like another wilderness. Hopefully, given my experience with the front end form display in, it's not as bad as it looks. Once we get into it, we can do this thing. And it's interesting trying to figure it all out. We also need to get our website in order and other satellite communications like email and YouTube. We've begun an expedition in our internal parlance, expedition to rebuild our website almost from scratch. We know we have tons of accessibility issues there. I'd never used a screen reader, and getting onto our website or a page with our form on it, that was very enlightening. More people should do that. And VoiceOver in Mac is what I used. And oh man, yeah, we got some work to do. We're looking ahead to fixing that shortly and tackling the admin of our plugin. And you know, we're doing this with the recognition that it's not just one-time work. It's long overdue maintenance that we need to get in place and then figure out a plan for moving forward and keeping it that way and continuing to evolve. Regression testing is one example of that in our front end forum display. All of our fields, as we fix things, we put regression testing in to make sure that we don't break them down the road. But you know, that's I guess bringing it back to the top, you know, fostering full awareness, not just awareness of the technical requirements or regulations that are coming down the line or compliance concerns of users, but the full awareness that includes an awareness of the impact that we're having on real people by being inaccessible, the negative impact that we're having on real people. Like, this needs to be front and center more than I've seen it. And how to get other people past the perceived complexity. I'm not sure, other than talking about it and say, hey, look, this is what we figured out, and it wasn't hardly as bad as we thought it was going to be at first. It's a work in progress. Hopefully this helps. This is about all I have prepared to speak on, Amber. I could probably ramble for a little while longer, but I understand that there's a Q&A bit, so I'll shush and let people ask questions.
Hey, sorry, it always takes me a moment to find myself again and put myself back up there. So I wanted to start by just, I think it's in your comments, you were seeing some of that, but just in case you didn't see any of them, Richard said, thank you for embracing progress over perfection and not allowing, you know, as you were talking about, it feels like overwhelming, like, oh, we just have to do it perfect or do it all. And talking about that, I think, is really meaningful. And I appreciate you highlighting that as well. And then Jeffrey said, thank you for sharing about your family and experiences, Quay. So thank you very much. And I really do think that as this goes, you know, it really is a journey. And that's something that as an agency, on our agency side, that we have thought a lot about and why we try and advocate for, even if it's just a tiny bit, like doing a little bit of testing and fixing each month and just doing a little bit over time. Because as you said, I think that those small changes can build up to having a really big impact. And sometimes a small change, like just fixing your navigation menu to have the dropdowns visual when you tab to them, that can have a major impact, even though it's just one change and not everything fixed. So yeah, a lot of what you shared really resonated with me. I am going to, it looks like we just have one question right now. I have a few that I wanted to follow up with, but for anyone, if you do have questions that you want to ask Quay, please post them in the Q&A and we will ask him. So the first one is from Mark, and Mark says, I'm curious how much of the feedback from self-identifying users with disabilities impacted your development process. Did you track how much of your feedback were from self-identifying users with disabilities versus other types of users like coders, developers, et cetera?
We did not track that. No. Looking back at that, that's probably a dumb call on our part, but we categorized everything that looked remotely like accessibility. And keep in mind, this is multiple people across the team that are in support and reading these support tickets. So anything that remotely sounded like it might be accessibility related was categorized in the sheet as an accessibility related item. And I went back and reviewed those. Unfortunately, we had the links to the actual tickets with the actual users talking. So I wasn't just reading a synopsis in the spreadsheet. And it wasn't always clear. It for the most part, seemed to be companies. Like I said earlier, mostly organizations, public entities that are more tightly regulated and in some cases just cannot use a product that is not WCAG2 compliant. That was the bulk. Were there folks in there that were self-identifying? I honestly don't recall. Probably.
Yeah. I expect most of your feedback probably came from developers or a customer who had their website audited and then they submitted. 'Cause, you know, the good thing or the downside, I don't know how you look at it, but usually if we visit a website, we don't, unless you're someone who understands code and you inspect the code, you don't actually know what technology is building the form on that website because it's not like their unless you have a janky one where you've embedded an iframe and it says embedded from Google Forms, right? Like otherwise you have no idea what's building that. And so I think a lot of users wouldn't even know which company to reach out to. They just reach out to the website owner probably directly.
Yeah. Yes.
I was curious about that. Have you explored having users come in and test forms or test your own website? And is that something you've thought about doing?
We've not invited, there's not like a mass invite for people to come in and test. That's an interesting idea. I mentioned running those internal standards through an accessibility expert, an outside professional. We'll be working closely with her as we redesign the website. So she will certainly be testing, and that will be one of the primary areas of feedback that we're looking for from her. We've got this idea. It was slightly off topic, but we've got this idea that one of the owners, James, very succinctly put together. We want everything to be fab. We want it to be fast, accessible, and beautiful. That's the one big standard for our website as we go through it. So it's a core. It's right there in the core requirement for the new site. And you know, we will have somebody paying attention to it. But I hadn't really thought about having people that use these technologies every day. That's actually a really good idea. I'm going to steal that and talk about it some more.
You should. Yeah. Take internally. I'm sure that there are people in the WordPress community, certainly in the WordPress Accessibility Facebook group. I'll just give that a little pitch there. There are blind people in that community, and you could probably post if that was something. But also, yeah, I just think you might have people in your Ninja Forms users already that if you were to send, I don't know if you send regular emails out to your users, yeah. You could maybe send an email out that says, you know, we're going to have an upcoming testing opportunity. We're looking for people who use screen readers every day, that sort of thing. And
yeah, absolutely. That's a really good idea. I have made a note. I'm going to follow up on that. That's a cool idea.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you could share like one or two concrete examples of maybe difficulties that you ran into with making the front end of some of the fields accessible and how you approached resolving those difficulties. So, you know, I've seen some forms and not on yours, but where, you know, they have a searchable combo box and that's very not accessible. And it just, and then there's conversations about, can we make it accessible or things like that? And I think sometimes product owners aren't even sure, okay, this seems really difficult. How would I even figure out how to tackle it? And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts you could share on that with maybe a specific example.
I wish I could. As I'm thinking about it, I am not an engineer, not a developer. I couldn't code my way out of anything at all. I have some very, very smart and talented engineers on the product team. And most of my involvement in this has been to try to take what we saw as a hugely complex topic and bring it together into a actionable course of action, plan. And that process was a lot of me writing up, this is what I want to see, passing that off to an engineer or engineers, and then taking that and saying, okay, this is how we can approach this best. From listening to them talk about actual complexity, I know our star rating field has been a beast. That's one of the ones that remain as like it's not in good shape right now. And then we have a select image field that's been a bear to wrestle with, and our date time field have mm-hmm. been. We intentionally put those off until near the end of our front end accessibility expedition too, because we knew that they were going to take pretty much everything else we could bundle up in groups and say, we're going to work on this like group of work and this like group of work. Those three fields specifically we've set aside for this needs its own track. This needs its own proposal and focused work. This one field So those are the three fields, date, time, the select image, and the star rating field that we're giving that treatment. Technically, why they're complex enough that they need to be treated that way? Because my engineer told me that's the best way to approach it. Sorry.
Yes. I'm also not a developer, so I frequently have things where I'm just like, well, someone told me this was the way it goes. So, okay, I believe them.
Yeah, they're really, really smart in that regard. I don't, you know, if they tell me this is how we're going to approach work, cool, let's do it. I don't tend to dig into the, not that I'd understand it if I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think something that's interesting too about those particular fields, maybe thinking about in contrast to, for example, an email field or just a plain text field, is that they might also be used less in forms. And so from a prioritization standpoint, sometimes like maybe it makes sense to fix the name field and the email field first, because you know, well, almost every form is going to have those fields. So you can have a bigger impact in that way versus the star rating maybe isn't as commonly used.
That is true. Yeah. If it might help with context here, we were pretty convinced going in that we're not going to be able to get all of our fields behaving the way we want them to on the front end without like diving into the code and rewriting fundamentally how we've constructed some of these fields. We took that as a given going into this project, that not everything was going to be able to be done. And what we're working on as a first pass, that we're going to have to rebuild the plugin anyway. Some of this is going to have to wait till that. Turns out that that's not been true of anything.
Well, that's good to know. It was easier than you thought it would be.
Yes, actual complexity versus perceived complexity. There's a big gulf there.
Yeah. Mark asked, what was the tipping point that got two members of your team on board to solving accessibility issues together? Assuming that point is the snowball effect for a company as a whole.
I'm looking for that question, or could you repeat it?
Yeah, I think he's wondering. So I know you talked a little bit about your personal experience with your son and kind of making the connection that some of the things he's experienced, drawing that connection to your company and the forms and the internet. Right. And I think he's sort of asking, so that was a connection you had. Was there a tipping point for the company as a whole, or something that got more than one person interested? And then it became the snowball where it becomes part of the culture of the company.
Yeah, it was just talking about the awareness of what this is actually, because the whole company, you know, this shallow awareness that I spoke to, like that was pretty much all of our, because we're all pretty normative folks. Nobody in the company relies on, for example, keyboard only input or screen readers, right? And it was ignorance, plain and simple. It was ignorance of the impact that being inaccessible had, that meant we hadn't done as much as we should have been doing all these years. It was the awareness of like, this isn't like, try to sit down with Ninja Forms on a page and go grab NVDA if you're on Windows or VoiceOver if you're on Mac, and just sit there and try to use a form. Throw a few radio list fields and select fields and things like this. Close your eyes and try to navigate that thing. Of course, there's a little bit of a learning curve, was for me anyway, to get familiar with VoiceOver and how it functioned. I had to go through the Mac tutorial a few times on it, but after I got comfortable, I could fairly well close my eyes, navigate a page, and be okay. But if we put a form on the page with especially particular fields on there, there is no context for what you were doing. Just you hit the form and you got lost. So putting that in front of people and here, try this, see what it's like for each and every individual out there trying to read, you know, we've got about 800,000 active installs. There's a whole lot of people out there that are requiring that need this technology to be able to use our forums. Look at what the experience is like for these folks. It didn't take much from there. My role as brand director is to bring things to the attention of the team that are directions that we need to be heading in. And this was a really easy sell. Once everybody realized what the experience was like. It started going quickly.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really interesting or a good way of saying this, you know, giving people the firsthand experience maybe is a good way to reach that tipping point internally. If you're someone that's trying to advocate for this in your company. I know I say a lot, if I give podcast interviews, I'll tell people just turn your mouse off, put it in a drawer and try using your entire website with only your keyboard. Mm-hmm. Can you actually do it? You know, but I wonder almost if product companies, this should be a thing where, you know, maybe on Global Accessibility Awareness Day, you just say once a year, we're going to make everyone literally experience like you have to use our product today with a screen reader, like what you're saying, because maybe that will be the tipping point that makes people realize, okay, I got frustrated and I could see my screen. Yeah,
that's kind of what I was trying to get at is once you get that level of awareness, it's hard to say we're not going to
ignore it,
do anything about this. You know, there are certainly people in the world that just won't care, but there are a whole lot of people that will, that are just in a position of ignorance, and it's very easy to be aware of accessibility in the technology space. But I think that deeper understanding of impact, human impact, is lacking.
And James chimed in the chat and said that your leadership has been integral to bringing this to the level of importance that it deserves. So I think we should all applaud you on that.
Thanks.
Richard asked, if you are sharing your experience with other product development companies, and if so, how specifically, that it's not as tough or as overwhelming as you thought. I mean, obviously you're here now sharing, but have you, or has NinjaForms done anything extra or written any blog posts or anything out there that we could share with folks about this experience?
This is my first foray into that quest, if you will, right now. This is the very first thing that I've done external to the company on this topic, but I sure would like to do a whole lot more about it. You know, I'm not a part of the deaf community. I'm not a part of the visually impaired community or what have you, but I absolutely do understand pursuing appropriate accommodations. That's something I've been passionate about for a long time. I just never made the connection. But now that the connection has been made, man, yeah, the world could use a little bit more of that. And I don't know exactly where to get started, except for, you know, coming in. I knew Chris and Amber, you did this and the WP Accessibility Meetup, and well, that sounds like a fair starting point. What's next? I'm not real sure. Maybe hoping to get some recommendations even, but we'll see. And this won't be the last of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, we really appreciate you coming here. And of course, we'll be sharing this and hopefully people will listen to it in audio form on the podcast or see it on YouTube or something and get that message. I would say, though, for sure, ideas on that front, blog posts on the NinjaForms blog would be great, you know, talking about that and probably good marketing for you all as well to make people aware of the fact that NinjaForms fields are more accessible and can be used on websites that have the requirements that you mentioned. So, yeah. Maureen asked, is it possible to tell us WordPress developers which field have been made accessible and which ones are not so that they can avoid using the non-accessible ones for building? And this sort of leads me to a question of, are you putting any notices in the admin on those fields that sort of say, or things like if someone leaves a label blank, do you warn them, hey, you really need to have a label on this. You shouldn't leave the field blank.
That is one of those awareness of technical requirements only, right? Like how to better advocate through our implementation in the plugin is absolutely something that is on my radar. And that was one label specifically was something that Peter pointed out to me whenever she was doing her audit. She did an audit both of the plugin and our standards. And that was the example that she used of where we could improve on communicating how to be, you know, education. We know that now. We didn't not too long ago, but we do now. So that is something that we can use the plugin to educate on what shape that's going to take, like how we're going to implement that. I'm not real sure right now. That's something that I would absolutely like to do, because that's part of the evolving nature of it, I believe, because the 27 fields that are in NinjaForms right now are not going to be the same 27 fields, you know, a year from now, 2, 3, 5 years from now. And how people can best make use of these fields, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we don't have anything in there right now. The three fields, to directly answer the first part of that question, the three fields that you want to steer away from right now, if you absolutely need your form to be front and accessible that you're building for a client, the star rating field, the select image field, and the date time field. Everything else, our submit field has a couple. I'm looking at a spreadsheet that my engineer provided me with back a while ago that we've been working on. Like the submit field, when you tab into the element, not when there has been an error on the form. So this is, if there's an error on the form when you tab into the submit button right now, it doesn't tell you where the error is. We need to fix that. But there are a couple of other fields, the checkbox list field, the notification of the label is not clear. And the notification of field type is not clear when the label is hidden. So there's a couple little issues with other fields, little in terms of the technical overhead it's going to take us to fix it, not necessarily the impact. The submit field and the checkbox list field are, you know, conditionally in niche circumstances are going to have a couple little problems. But date time, select image, star rating are the only three fields that are like, oh gosh, this is a real pain to use right now, or unusable for this reason.
Great. Well, I mean, I think that's good progress though, going from where you were to now and only having three that are on your to-do list as opposed to the beginning. What was the timeline on that journey? Like, how long did that take to get to where you are right now?
Oh, I'd have to dig through Basecamp to tell you exactly. Whatever we started working with the internal standards, that was the first thing we started to develop. I think that I asked our engineering team to develop those internal standards based on some specific parts of the WCAG2 guidelines and that W3C forms accessibility tutorial back in March of this year.
So that's fast progress.
Pretty yeah. Fast. Yeah. You know, we've benefited from a pretty amazing project management system that their owners have put together, kind of like cobbled, tailor-made for us, that we're trialing this year. So that's part of being able to move a lot faster than we have in the past. But it's also just, it's not as hard as we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really glad to hear that. And hopefully other product leads or owners or anyone working on a product takes that to heart and is willing to dive in and maybe not be as afraid of it based on your example. So thank you. I don't see any other questions. So I think we're going to let everybody get back to their day a little bit early. Thank you again so much for sharing your experience and answering everyone's questions. Can you give a quick blurb on where people can find you again, Quay, if they want to follow up with you personally or NinjaForms, whatever works best?
Yeah, you can at NinjaForms on X. That will inevitably get to me. And I'm also on LinkedIn. There's not a whole lot of Quay Morgans in the world. If you search me on LinkedIn, I should be there. And I can always provide a link to my profile there if you want to. But welcome anybody to DM me with follow-up questions or what have you.
Great. And of course, NinjaForms website, if you want to check out the plugin, is ninjaforms.com. Right. I'm going to just give a minute for our interpretation to finish, and then I will end it. So everyone have a great day. Remember, no meetup on our normal Monday meetup, but we will be back next month, and we will also have sign language interpretation next month.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.